Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
There's a pool in Pickerel Park. Everyone is going after midnight tonight, you in? You know parks are open during the day, I said as I secured my locker. The rest of my focus was dedicated to dreading a calc final, which I was woefully unprepared for. Dylan rolled his eyes and elbowed me. Dude, two words, Amber Rothus. He then pantomimed an hourglass figure, as if that meant something. The girl who had wanted nothing to do with you since junior year? The very same. He wrapped an arm around me. Until I slapped her some beautiful poetry straight from the heart that made her swoon. That's an odd way to say, thank you, Scott, for making me sound less like a creep. What I had before was from my very core. 10 minutes about how great she looked from behind? People don't immediately think of where you sit in Spanish class, dude. Anyway, he coughed to move on. We've been texting since last Saturday and really hit it off. Your wingmanship and my silver tongue secured us an invite to a sick-ass party. I raised an eyebrow at that. At a park at midnight? A haunted park at midnight, Scotty? I hated it when he called me Scotty. It's the one where that Clemens kid went missing. I parked myself at the door of Mr. O'Reilly's calculus class. And you think that lovely background is going to get you an award-winning hand job from Amber? Dylan whistled, the scar on his bottom lip, the one he got back in third grade from running headfirst into a flagpole, winked at me with the same lack of subtlety in his eyes. Given what he was saying, he was still the spinning image of that kid who loved to run Mach 3 into a broken face. I'm appalled at your crass assumption of such a lady. I am a gentleman, Scotsman. I only aim for second base during a first meetup of lips, he said, marching towards our seats in the back of the class. I sat down and unpacked my things. As I prepared to carve off another chunk of my GPA, Dylan leaned over to me, whispering to avoid Mr. O'Reilly's scar-worthy ass-chewing. Before you cop an excuse, you are going. I need a homie there, and we both know you need this. I shot him a glare. It was all Dylan needed to kill that line of thought. He put his hands up in defense stance, like he was expecting me to box him. All right, but you know I got a point. I didn't know that. At the time, I was convinced of everything, but Dylan had spent too much energy convincing me of what I needed lately. The only thing I knew for certain was that my best friend was becoming a real pain in the ass, even if a well-intended one. And yet, I found myself ready at 11 that night, zipping up my hoodie and making my way towards the party that, at best, got my best friend laid. I didn't even want to consider the worst case. Some things are better left as surprises. What was no surprise was where I found Dad lying that night. His usual spot, half dozing on the dining room table, a bottle of cheap scotch drained dry. If he was on schedule, he had been there since work and hadn't eaten anything. The thought dawned on me as I threw the couch's throw over him. Most people on their way to this party had to forge cover-up stories to make it, and all I had to do was cover up my dad in the hopes he wouldn't freeze once he made his way onto the tile floor in his stupor. Before I left, I put a glass of water on the table, tossed the meatloaf I made yesterday into the microwave, picked up a Sharpie, and wrote instructions on his limp arm. Went out, dinner and Mick-WV. I cringed as I ran out of the room. Then, the buried part of me spoke out. I meant to think it, but spoke it as I loomed over him. Fuck it, you'll figure it out. Night, Dad, I said after a moment of guilt. I patted him on the back and was on my way. Dylan and I got there about 20 minutes late. His idea. He insisted showtimes were for suckers. Killing tears for fears as they demanded we abandon Mother Nature, I thought Dylan may have underestimated how seriously other people might take a rule like this. The scene was dead. There was maybe 15 people, all clustered around a couple of barrel fires like a homeless encampment. The rest of the place didn't fare much better. The park was a scab of West Texas dirt, itching the skin of some emaciated pine woods, one cigarette away from a Burning Man impression. And yet, the offbeat reggae blaring out of some crappy bass-heavy Bluetooth speaker was the worst part. I looked at Dylan. "Looks like we're early," he said. "Dude." Okay, but the real party is at the lake in the back. There are probably more people there." "Lake? You said it was a pool." Dylan shrugged. "Just what it's called, man. You know, Camelot and shit." "Right, the famous story of King Arthur and the Lady of the Pool." Dylan opened the door. "Never heard of it. Too busy listening to the dillweed in the Subaru Outback. Would you just get out of the car?" We sauntered up and, in moments, Dylan locked onto his goal. "Miss Rothus, I presume," he said, shouting from afar. Once we had made it to Amber's little huddle, he leaned over the beer keg in the center and proffered his hand so he could kiss hers. Riley, Amber's best friend, grimaced in disgust.
"Whatever."
An appropriate reaction. The other three dudes I didn't know exchanged bemused glances. Amber, though, wore an ear-to-ear grin wider than I had ever seen.
"Oh, darling," she said, flicking her dusty blonde hair over her shoulder and twirling some imaginary pearls. "Long how I've awaited your arrival."
"Exquisitely, I'm sure, madame." As Dylan went on with his horrid pageantry, I wandered over to the side of the group to get some distance. I could almost hear my internal Geiger counter for cringe quieting as I did. The tallest of the gaggle, a guy with an X-Men Letterman jacket strapped tight over an athletic build, stuck a hand out to me as I approached.
"Sup, man? I'm Thomas. That's Dean and Rick."
Dean was a short and stocky guy, but he had a huge smile plastered on his face and was completely blazed out of his mind. Rick was a spectacled fellow with straight slicked back hair, a short-sleeved button-up, and astute eyes. I'm pretty sure he was our school's photographer, or maybe just pre-bit Peter Parker. They both threw me some nods, and I gave them my name in exchange.
"You want a beer?"
Thomas asked, offering me a red solo cup.
"I'm good. Not a fan, honestly."
someone had to be sober in my family. Part of my brain lingered on Dad for a moment, wondering if he made it into bed tonight, or if he was drooling or puking all over the kitchen tile.
You smoke?
Dean wheezed out, confirming my assessment to him. I declined again, killing all conversation. Two swift strokes and I had become the Dare Counselor. Before we could all sit around in silence like a group of husbands abandoned by our wives and
drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
The barbecue. Riley chimed in, and with a look of utter disgust still on her face. At least, I believed it was disgust. She was hard to discern in the dark. She wore all black and had midnight pitch hair. Her skin was a dusty olive color and melded with the shadows seamlessly. Had it not been for her emerald eyes, I would have lost her in the night.
They were cute for 10 seconds, but now I'm gonna be sick.
She gestured at Dylan and Amber, who didn't seem halfway done with their horrid play.
I think it's funny, Rick said. That's because you're a theater nerd,
Dean said, passing his joint to Riley, who took a drag with such familiarity, it was like she asked him to roll it for her. Y'all got no chill, Thomas laughed. I don't think I can watch that anymore, I said. Why don't we go check out this pool?
Great idea,
Dylan shouted, bursting into the group, hooking Riley and I into her pits.
Shall I lead the way to our doom?
He said, fingers wiggling. Only Dean and Amber laughed, both of which of them were delirious in their own way. As I trailed in the back of the cluster with Riley, a lead weight dropped into my stomach. Not an uncommon phenomenon this past year. Each passing day, the weight had lessened, or I had just gotten used to it, but now and again, it would hit. My legs would turn to fresh forged iron, heavy and fragile, flimsy and scathing. To move was to suffer. So much of me wanted to crash into the dirt, but like always, I put it on the shelf of my mind and marched on, even when it was difficult enough to hurt. There was too much to do and too many people who would see. Except that didn't solve it like before. The weight persisted, a bad smell in the air. A corpse was unearthed, something real, tangible, foul. I scanned the tree line, convinced something was in wait, watching. Each snap of a twig and rustle of leaves pinged around my head, as if it was happening right in the canals of my skull. Then I saw it. A blob of shadow, innocuous save for its isolation. It sat atop one of the branches, silhouetted by the crooked moon behind. At first, it was nothing more than a mass of black I had convinced myself I was characterizing. Laundry in the corner of a pitch-black room that became a serial killer after a few scary stories. And just when I believed that to be the case, right as I started to turn, two beads of piercing yellow opened from the center of the shadow, trained right on me. Then, as if a stray piece of wind kidnapped some long-forgotten syllable, a dry, muffled sound funneled into my ears.
You.
What? I stammered out. I wasn't even sure I had said anything.
I said, how you feeling?
Jesus! I yelped, muffling into a whisper as the words bursted from my lips. I turned to see Riley, recoiled in shock.
Sorry,
she said in a nervous chuckle. I snapped my head back to where I had been. No eyes. And, as if in response to my fears, the wind picked up. The confusing mass that had glared at me rustled, and the individual leaves that made up the silhouette were exposed in higher detail. It was only a tree branch.
But that voice!
I let out a sigh. No, I am sorry. I think I'm seeing things.
I bet. You're probably stressed out of your mind.
What do you mean? Then there was a pause. The hesitation on the face only those with pity to spare wear. I looked forward. Dylan was locked in arms with Amber, chatting, joking. He looked at her and no one else. Yet I knew the side of his eye was on me. I should have known. He had told Amber, who had told Riley, and now I was the make-a-wish kid who didn't know they had cancer. Ah, right, I said. The image of what had terrified me moments ago was now scrubbed by a body misplaced anger. I'm sorry. I waved a hand. It's fine, Riley, really.
It doesn't have to be, she whispered.
She was kind. I knew it then and I knew it now. But it was warm like a sauna I had been locked into. I wanted to scream. I wanted to ask how many days the living must endure the condolences for the dead. How long do I have to hear how hard I must have it and how bad other people feel for me? I wanted to look her square in the face and say, when does my face pull back the panhandle and stop collecting bullshit tips on how to move on? But I didn't. I put it on the shelf. A shelf that creaked in complaint, pushed to captivity by another bottled burden. It would surely buckle soon. Not tonight, though. Tonight, I smiled and said thank you.
I wasn't trying to bring it up or avoid it. Scott, I understand what you're going...
Whoa!
Amber said.
Check it out, guys!
I was so preoccupied I hadn't noticed. We had made it to the lake. Pickerel Pool was a sheer piece of glass in the weak moonlight. Undisturbed. Not even a skitterbug ran across its surface, and the wildlife, up until now, seemed to be under the same obligation. No wind, caw, or howl pierced the stillness of the air or water. It was as if the lake was a crystal lid to a terrarium we had unknowingly been placed in.
Damn, shit's dope,
Dean said through a skunk-scented cloud of smoke.
Told you, dude, Dylan whispered. Camelot.
I shot him a confused look. Thomas walked forward to the lake's edge.
Check it out!
He stood before a small memorial. A single cylindrical cedar post painted white and adorned with fresh flowers, Pokemon drawings, and images of various superheroes. At its base sat a little xylophone, tiny enough for a kid no older than 5 to play. A memorial much like those you'd see on the side of the road for folks who lost their lives in car accidents. But the middle stood out. Enshrined around the midsection of the post was a tattered cape, cloaked of gold plaque. I read it aloud.
In loving memory of Isaac Clemens, whose hugs, kisses, and laughs saved our day every day. Our loss is heaven's gain. Miss you, bud. The words fell out of my mouth like stones. We sat there in silence. No one moved, afraid to disturb the tension as unbroken as the lake. With each passing second, the reality of our situation worsened. We all thought the same thing. Seven loser kids, ready to get trashed and literally dance atop a kid's grave, motivated by shitty beer and second base. It made me sick. Then, Dylan did what he did best. He walked up to Isaac's memorial, knelt, and placed a hand on the arm of the cross. Dude, Furret is an awesome Pokemon. You know, when I used to play, I thought Sandslash kicked ass. Sorry. I thought he was awesome. I used him all the time, even when he sucked. And is that a Blue Beetle drawing? My man! We all watched as Dylan carried on a conversation with no one. If it was anyone else, it would have been a joke, a mockery. But not the way Dylan talked. You'd swear he was a divining rod who had contacted the spirit world with the way he spoke to the grave. You seemed like a great guy, Isaac, just going by what your parents wrote. He held the corner of his cape between his fingers. A real
drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water, but you're getting it anyway, because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit. Now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hero. He looked back at me for a moment, and though he said nothing, his eyes spoke volume. Filled with the words I had rebuked over and over again, I gave him a nod that I hoped showed my appreciation. He returned it with a smile like always, and turned back to the memorial. So, save our night. A lot of us could really use a pick-me-up. He stood up and placed his hand on top of the post, like he was ruffling the kid's hair. It was honestly too much. But if you knew Dylan, you'd know he wasn't saying that to impress a girl or to get laid. The real deal.
That was so nice, Amber said, hands clasped over her chest.
Maybe his chances weren't shot after all.
Yeah, bro, that was poetic as hell,
Thomas said, helping Dean set up the keg. It must have worked too. The mood picked up quickly. Thomas busted out a good speaker and started to play some acoustic country. Dean rolled out beers to everyone but me, and we all settled on to various parts of the lake to have a good time. Amber and Dylan were deep in the middle of the pool, playing a flirtatious game of Marco Polo. Amber's giggling constantly exposed her position, but they didn't mind. Rick took photos of the moon. Dean and Thomas were throwing a football back and forth, and Riley mingled all around the water's edge, dancing by herself. And there I was, sitting by Isaac's memorial. I wasn't sad or miserable for him. I just related to him. What happened to him? What happened to me? What happened to my mom? That unfairness is felt across the barriers of death and life. I winced in pain. I looked down to see I had twisted the denim of my jeans into such tight spirals in my fist, my knuckles had gone bleached white and cut through the core of my palm.
How is it that the heart is one of the strongest muscles in the body, yet so feeble when we lose those we love, it fails twice? The physical loss is their absence. The destruction of routine, of joy, of anger and annoyance. The robbery of our lives by vandals we live with every day. And then, the days after. The second suffering. The ones that break you. That which had broken my father. When my mom died, it was as if someone chucked a window through my glass house and there was no repairman in town. My only solace was that, each day that passed, I got to wander past the fractured pane with the hope that I'd eventually have some nostalgia to muse over it. What a bitter fucking joke. My dad died when I was 10, Riley said, sitting down, glazed in a light sheen of sweat from her dance, looking to Dylan and Amber in the middle of the lake. But not truly. She was elsewhere, wrapped in the arms of a man who had been dead for almost a decade. Even with dilated stoned eyes, red-tinted from years of drugs, she was quite beautiful. He was my whole world, still is. He loved doing things with me. We'd cook, clean, stuff like that. It's so weird. I never thought I would miss doing chores. I didn't want to face her. I felt like I was intruding on some pure moment. A crinkle of her nose, a stifled tear, the unblinking way in which she watched the water, all of it was hers. Were I to speak, I would just be the acid to curdle the cream. But he made it, like, silly, you know? He had made a flashlight have a voice, add sound effects to things he did. She put a finger up to her nose to mimic a mustache and deepened her voice. "This only works if you make the noise first, Boop." She laughed, a deep croak, which seemed rude not to join. In exchange of verbals, the closest thing to a hug I had felt since that hospital room. After a quiet time, I found myself talking. "How did he die?"
"Just dead in his sleep. Aneurysm."
"That's..."
"Yeah."
She made small swirls in the dirt with her thumb.
"I don't pity you, Scott. Even at 10, each shitty condolence was like a hand pushing down on me. They all tried to pull me out of the water, save me from drowning, but each attempt just sunk me deeper."
She skipped a stone. It fell through the surface as though it was made of air, hardly a ripple.
"I ain't gonna sit here and lie to you that you will feel better one day. I haven't. Not totally, but there are ways to keep going."
She put a hand on mine, and before it could be something more, Dylan shouted over,
"Scotsman, make a move or get in the water!"
Our hands snapped away. A beet red flush overtook both of us.
"You are the worst,"
Amber said, splashing a torrent of water towards Dylan.
"You want to take turns dunking him?"
Thomas said suddenly at her side, removing his jacket and shirt. "Nothing would make me happier," I said. Riley cracked her knuckles in agreement. After about 10 minutes of waterboarding Dylan, we were all deep in the lake. I never wanted to leave. The moment the water kissed my abdomen, a rich warmth spread through my bones. A cradle of nature. Each ripple of movement was a departed embrace. My lungs were clear, which usually sported a congested passage, was free and filled with the scent of fresh ozone of the coming rain, but the sky was clear and peppered with stars.
"That's the spirit, Scotty,"
Rick said, his demure disposition abandoned in favor of a glazed-out backstroke that glided before me like a wayward duck. I was confused for a moment, but then I touched the upturn of my cheeks. I hadn't noticed. I had a smile on my face. Looking around, we all did. And how long had we been idle here? Hadn't we been playing Marco Polo? Now, we were each meandering in our own waters, content with nothing but the light of the moon, the dead air, and the warm water to swaddle us. Rick was the first to go. No one saw it. It stood atop him, weightless, using him like the carrion's boat down the river Styx. A frail figure with messy hair, sheen gray skin, and a coat of white fur draped around its shoulders and back. Its arms were thin, twig-like, falling down to sharp, straight claws. Its face had no mouth, and two light beams of yellow instead of eyes. It looked down at Rick, fascinated and analytical. It turned its head and narrowed its beamless eyes. Rick didn't see it and didn't feel it. His eyes closed, lost amidst the same bliss which had ensnared me. I felt feverish, a lost actor in a dream I was half in. I couldn't speak and didn't want to. So at peace, the sight before me wasn't horrifying, but rather too precious to disturb. Fear hadn't paralyzed me. Joy had.
"Hurt,"
it said with a dry gasp, which I had heard before as we marched out here.
What the? Rick said, suddenly snapping away from his piece.
His expression flipped like a coin, and it disgusted me to see it. He sneered his face into a tight curve. His mouth carved out a scar, and he flailed, intent on striking the monster.
"Get the fuck off me! You absolute freak! I hate you! I hate everything you fucking are! You sad, pathetic waste of goddamn population point!"
The figure raised its arms, pointed its needle fingers towards Rick's face, and did it with the slowness of someone half interested. Then, they shot forward, piercing Rick's eyes, and exited out his skull, killing the words in his mouth.
"Hurt."
Then, Rick sank. The water swallowed him without effort, falling beneath the tension without acknowledgement. Just like the stone Riley had skipped before, the monster went with him, sinking as the captain aboard a capsized vessel. When all the strands on his head were beneath...
The new McCrispy Strip is here. Dip approved by ketchup, tangy barbecue, honey mustard, Sprite, McFlurry, Big Mac sauce, double dipped in buffalo and ranch, more ranch, and creamy chili McCrispy Strip Dip. Now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hey, Mama, you don't have time to be messing around endlessly scrolling to find a caregiver for your child. Let me clue you in to my trick to save time and my sanity when finding a sitter. SitterCity.com. SitterCity knows what they're doing. They've been helping busy parents find the perfect sitter for over 20 years. While other sites overwhelm you by throwing hundreds of random profiles your way, SitterCity matches you with caregivers who actually fit your needs. No endless scrolling, no guesswork. I love that all caregivers undergo ID verification. They have background checks, specialized qualifications, and real parent reviews to know if they showed up on time or really know how to handle my sassy toddler. And if I need help, I can talk to a real live human, not a robot, with SitterCity's delightful team. You know, my employer pays for me to get SitterCity completely free as part of my benefits. Yours could too. SitterCity is my go-to for a smarter, simpler way to find reliable, trustworthy care. Don't wait. Go to SitterCity.com/XX and get the help you need.
Beneath the glass pool, I wasn't able to break my gaze. Looking around the lake, not a single one of them noticed. They were all preoccupied with their serenity. Riley swam in a small circle. Dylan and Amber were sucking on each other's faces. Thomas and Dean tossed a football back and forth. Not a single concerned soul. And on the outside, I wasn't either. My placid smile and dazed eyes were etched onto my face like I were stone. My heart rate must have been in the mid-60s. I even paddled a few lazy breaststrokes in a small circle. On the inside, I screamed, a faint resistance, an echo of horror from the well of my mind. He trapped a line of thought, half buried in a numb vessel. Each movement was an action coated in molasses, both in control and not. I wanted to run. I wanted to stay. Then, it emerged near Thomas and Dean, but it wasn't alone. Rick rose with it. His skin was opalescent, and his eyes the same feverish yellow, shining bright enough to leave small circles of illumination on Thomas's skin. He wore a smile woven not with maliciousness, but rich, full happiness.
"Hurt,"
the figure said, crawling atop Dean's stocky shoulders like a spider. It pierced his eyes more slowly this time, moving its fingers around his sockets in a blending motion. After the fourth revolution of his fingers blending his eyes, his peace broke. Dean's hand snapped to his head, desperate to hold it together, and he bellowed the ugliest shriek I had ever heard.
"Ah! Stop! Please, God, stop! I'll be good! I swear I'll..."
It was all he could manage before he sank into the pool. Not even a gargle from the water which filled his open mouth. Just a soundless plunge before erasure. Thomas blinked and was freed.
"Holy shit!"
Rick had already begun to crawl atop him, urging him deeper.
"It's okay, man, it's okay. You'll see, it's all fine,"
Rick said, pulling on his clothes, his face, and hair, each tug sinking them both lower and lower. Thomas didn't hesitate. He landed haymaker after haymaker on Rick's face, desperate to free himself. Thomas had almost 40 pounds of muscle on the guy, but from my angle looked like he was battling a statue. I could even see the red bruising on Thomas's knuckles, battered and bloodied, which Rick's face had remained clean and blissful. They went like that all the way down. They went like that all the way down. Just before the water swallowed him, he looked at me, a scream muffled by the hands of Dean and Rick, finding purchase on his jaw to pull him beneath the surface. Bubbles of scream broke the water's tension, and that was all he conveyed before he was gone too. At this point, and I don't know why, but the hold over me was lighter. Maybe the creature was too focused on the others, or my initial resistance had started to pull through. I wasn't sure. But the water had switched from cement to syrup, and I pulled on the fleeting thread of sanity I had to flail to Amber and Dylan. Even as the veins in my face strained against my skin, a pressure as intense as defying Jupiter's gravity, with nothing but worry in my heart, I was still so damn happy for them. I cried actual tears of joy as I paddled like a drunk dog across the lake, urging my throat to scream, but unable to overcome the foreign cooing of happiness which bubbled up in my throat instead. And with each stroke, the gulf seemed harder and harder to pass. When I was only halfway to them, Dean, Rick, and Thomas emerged before them, encircling the two lovebirds in locked hands, a ring of cultists to their love. The creature sprang from the water in a spiral tower of flesh, its thin legs and torso coiled tightly, stretching tall till it dangled over Dylan and Amber like an angular fish lure. The gang pulled the two apart with conviction, a keen focus on Amber instead of Dylan. Dylan opened his eyes wide after being ripped from Amber's lips.
"Guys, what the hell?"
he said. He was confused at first. Then he saw their eyes and their smiles, and then the creature that swayed above him. His confusion curdled. He saw me, crazed, smiling, panic finally conveying from my capillary-busted eyes. It occurred to me that Dylan never seemed entranced. He never had that snap moment. And when he saw the twisted display before him, he swam to them without hesitation, spearing his way towards Amber. As they lifted her up to the creature above, he yanked, pried, and clawed at their hands, desperate to free her. An act of frivolity that none of the participants seemed to even notice. Certainly not Amber, hoisted atop all of them, backlit by the lagoon glow of the yellow eyes below her, embracing the dangled horror with pure glee. Her smile never wavered. She never broke free, never snapped. Not even when it cradled her head with each of its fingers and pierced her skull with each needle, one at a time. The squelch of her brain being skewered cued their descent back into the lake.
No!
Dylan screamed, crying, slamming his fists on Dean's back, whose headbeams were too enamored with Amber to mind his pitiful blows. They were gone in moments, save for the creature's head, floating amidst its wisping strands of soaked hair. Dylan stared at it in shock. Small, wordless utterances escaped his lips, desperate realizations about what he had seen. Then, as I finally reached the two of them, its mouthless visage opened on a jagged hinge. A thin line tore through its pallid flesh like an invisible knife. Its crooked lips turned upwards, unveiling dozens of fangs.
Saved!
It purred. Then, with the plunk of a misskipped stone, the monster was gone.
Scott, we should go.
It was Riley. She was behind me, hushed, and reaching for my hand beneath the water. The moment her fingers graced mine, the trance shattered. I blinked, then flailed. I searched around the lake, my head snapping around. Nothing but the sheen surface reflecting the dead sky and the glowing moon. The only person I saw was Dylan, who bobbed and floated in complete shock.
Dylan!
I said, whispering as loudly as I could. I reached out to touch him. He floated back like a buoy, staring at where Amber had been. Dylan, come on, man! I started to pull him. We gotta get the fuck out of the water!
It's my fault, he said.
What?
He said, saved.
Tears welled in his sockets.
He said, saved, Scott.
Riley's hand tightened around mine. She was shaking. She was terrified. But I couldn't leave Dylan. I grabbed his shoulder with my free hand.
Who gives a flying fuck what it said? We have to go. He's right, though. We are saved.
My heart sank. I tried to move my hand and met a crushing vice instead of a tender hold. Then, Riley's other hand groped my chest. Then, another grabbed my hip. Then another on my thigh. Until I was swarmed with the spider snares of 10 hands, yanking, clawing, and caressing me down. I craned my neck to look behind me. Riley floated rigid in the front of the pack. Two corridors of brimstone had swallowed her vision and beamed at me. It was hard to look at.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Come try new Skyline Dip Cholitos at your neighborhood Skyline today. A warm, soft tortilla filled with their amazing chili and cheese with an extra layer of cream cheese and crunchy Fritos corn chips. At participating Skyline restaurants for a limited time.
She vibrated, not with fear, but pure excitement.
Scott, trust me. You will feel so much better.
Her voice was hers, but coated in some saccharine sickness.
Just let go.
No, no, I started. The rest of the group had moved in an instant, surrounding me in a circle of smiling, sunken heads, beaming with joy.
Come on, man, Thomas said. Lighten up.
The hands worked their way up to my face. They yanked, clawed, and pushed. With each attempt, the bliss that had swallowed me had now been replaced with a violent rage deeper than I ever thought possible. A thread of electricity ran through my veins, burning my fingertips, gritting my teeth. I felt the violence of a thousand hatreds bubbling up from me like I had been set to boil. I wanted all of them to die bloody deaths. I saw a fantasy of Riley with her dad once more, just to watch him be stabbed to death like the bitch deserved. The image of Dylan battered and bloodied beneath me, holding a baseball bat, and me screaming how much he needed to leave me alone.
Get off me, you piece of shit! I'll kill you! I'll kill all of you! I will drown you till each fucking bubble leaves your pathetic lungs!
My eyes rolled around in scalded hot tears.
Stop it! Stop it right now! Mom, please! Please help me! Dad, Mom, anyone? Mom! Mommy!
They forced my face up, and instead of the serene sky which had bathed us before, I was faced with the gray-skinned monster, its slimy nose so close that it touched mine. And all that anger melted out of the ice and into the watery despair. When my eyes fell beneath the water, as it poised its needles over my eyes, the image of the creature blurred. Its bloody grin watered down to a concerned smile. Its jaundiced eyes were blue sapphires now riddled with tears. And the matted fur animal coat had been supplanted by a pristine red cape.
You're hurting.
Before I could scream beneath the surface, the needles pierced my eyes, and black was all I saw. Then, after an eternity, white. Details filtered in bit by bit as my eyes adjusted. But they were closed. I was crying, rubbing my eyes with fists too small for my face. A small chirp of distant birds rippled into my eardrums, muffled as if underwater, but the wind that pulled on my shirt and shorts was crisp and clear.
Mommy, I want my mommy.
I said in a voice that was not mine, or at least wasn't currently mine. It was rehearsed audio, played through me as if on a recording.
I guess it's a good thing that I'm right here.
I opened my eyes and there she was. Right there, beautiful, tall, safe and warm, clawed in her favorite white dress with blue flowers. I snatched her leg without a moment's notice, burying my face into her knees.
I thought I'd lost you,
she cooed, brushing my hair. Her words were soft with a tinge of buried sadness trailing them. She must have been worried sick.
I thought that I'd lost you, I shouted into her dress. I was so scared and I...
Take a deep breath, bug, my mom said, stroking my hair. I did, and I felt so much better.
I thought you left me behind on purpose.
Why would I do that?
You might. You might wake up one day and realize you don't want to be my mom anymore.
Oh, honey. She pulled me into the tightest hug I had ever felt. The kind that holds your whole body together and stops you from turning into a puddle of tears.
That would never happen. Can I let you in on a little secret?
I nodded, rubbing my eyes. When I stopped, she was crouched down at my level. Her red hair curled around her in the light breeze, and she smiled something deep and somber.
Some days, Mommy wakes up sad. On those days, I don't want to get up. I don't want to be anyone or anything. And even on those days, the only thing I ever want to be is your mama.
She Eskimo kissed my nose and ruffled my hair. When she pulled away, our eyes locked on one another, and I was freed, in control of myself once more. I still was me, this version of me from when I was young, but acutely aware of where I was and what had happened.
"But it's not enough. You will wake up one day and being my mom won't be enough to make you stay."
Her smile faded, and she stared off into the parking lot. The pavement withered into the white like a half-finished watercolor painting, and she and I were the only objects amidst the frame.
"Well, maybe. But that isn't because you made me go. It's because I wasn't strong enough to stay."
"And that's not fair." I stomped my foot. "Why should I have to be alone? Why should Dad have to drink all day? Just because you were too much of a coward to..."
She pulled me in tighter. "You are right. It's not fair. I'm sorry. You didn't deserve that, Scotty. You didn't deserve to have a mom like me. You didn't deserve to find me like that."
She cried into my shoulder.
"I'm just so sorry."
In all the days since I'd found my mom's body, in all the condolences and heartfelt comments, through the tears and anger, her words here were the only time I had felt, seen, touched. I sobbed into her chest for an eternity. The void of the water muffled my ears, reminding me of where I was. I'd been on an island of pain since that day. Now, I was wading through the surf to find land.
"This isn't real. You aren't real. I'm just drowning, imagining this stupid frickin' closure."
She clasped my cheeks between her hands and kissed me on the forehead.
"It's okay. It's all okay."
Over her shoulder, I saw him. A little boy, no older than 5, with dusky blonde hair, a red cap, who was shedding happy tears. Mom craned her neck to see him.
"Is it that time already?"
He nodded. She turned back to me.
"I have to go, sweetie. You have to go. But you need to know I am so proud of you. I was then, and I am now. I always am."
Mommy made a mistake. One she regretted the moment she did it. But it was never your fault. No one's but mine. You hear?
I know that it will not fix it. It won't undo anything. You need to hear it so you could stop drowning yourself and finally come up for air.
I looked into her blue eyes. A million thoughts and aches came to mind. I want to scream, beg, shout how much I loved her and how much I hated her for what she did. It all flooded in and through me. With each thought, I became lighter, floating higher and higher. As each disgusting stance exited my mind, I found myself closer to the surface. She smiled as I descended, holding my cheeks as my legs lifted towards the surface of this dream. I waded through each painful remembrance with the deliberation of years. The moments of suffering crashed upon me like the tides of a surf and pulled back just as quickly. Isaac clapped soundlessly as I underwent this process, rejoicing as I went up.
"I love you, Scotty."
Then, all those thoughts, all those aches, all that anger, all that sadness muddled into 5 little words.
"I love you too, Mom."
"Scott!" Dylan shouted into my face. I was on the...
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle.
With ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl. It's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl. Happy Friday. It's Jen. Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts. Like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Lake's edge, we all were. Bone dry. Eyes on the sky above. Riley cried. Dean smiled. Rick and Thomas looked at each other with this passive bewilderment.
What?
Did you guys see that thing? Dylan shouted. It took you all. You were all so happy, and then you were under the water. You were down there for so long, and when you came up, you were laughing, but like, relieved.
Riley ran over to me, crashing at my side and squeezing my shoulder.
Did you see her, Scott? Did you?
Before I could answer, she hugged me.
I got to talk to my dad. We played Monopoly and just talked. It was like this Sunday right before the accident. He told me how he saw how I was feeling. Please tell me you saw your mom. Please tell me I'm not crazy.
Dylan looked at me with abject horror on his face. I looked over to Thomas and Dean. The moment our eyes met, they looked away in seeming embarrassment. Eventually, they returned my gaze with a soft nod. I don't know what they saw, but they both stood a little straighter than when they entered the water, more resolute in themselves.
I saw my dad, Rick said, hugging his knees by the water's edge. He was watching TV like he was when I left, but I got to hear the things he wanted to say but was too proud to. I gotta get home.
He peeled off the sand and bolted to his car. Amber looked at Dylan, smiling ear to ear.
She's okay, Dylan. My sister's okay.
She kissed him and wrapped her arms around his neck. The horror of Dylan's face melted into pure confusion. What he had seen was what I had before I took my plunge. A monster killing our friends. But what if that is all it could appear as? What if we just didn't understand? He must have been so lost and afraid, but Amber's relief pushed him past the first barrier of doubt. He patted her on the back, looking at me, waiting for my answer.
My mom told me she was sorry and that she loved me.
A silence fell over us. A warm one. One of comfort that eased the hallucination into something more. Then, we all looked to the lake and Isaac's grave. The wind picked up his cape, and we heard in a clear, crystalline voice of a little boy.
Saved.
There were so many more things we could have said, but more like how the water had held us in the strange warmth, the aftermath of our baptisms had a similar hold. We all but Dylan shared the same look at first. A deep confusion we slowly exchanged for relief. The need to wonder lessened. I didn't believe much in God, but if those who witnessed Jesus' miracles are to be believed, then I get the feeling they felt similar. It was just too beautiful to ask for more information. The fears, the horror, the insecurity, all had been swallowed by the water. We were cleansed, but not completely. In a way, we were still damp, but on our way to being dry, no longer being held beneath the water. And as we made our way back to our cars, we joked, laughed,
talked about things like we hadn't experienced anything at all at the lake. All of us were aware of the precious glass-sealed gift we had been given. I opened the door, ready to pick up my father off the ground. But the gifts didn't stop at the water's edge. He sat in the center of the couch, draped in a blanket I had given him, a cleaned plate of food before him, and a soberish smile on his face as he stared at Mom's photo. I took a seat next to him.
I had this wonderful dream about her. It felt so real.
He turned to me and saw the scab on my heart begin to form. He hugged me, but it wasn't for my comfort. He did it like someone lost adrift in a blizzard, desperate to find heat for survival. It was as if he could sense the dryness itching away at the damp of my heart, and instinctively pulled in hopes of leeching off just a bit for him. And I knew then and there that he deserved it too. I lost my mom. He lost that and more.
Dad? Yeah, Scotty?
His breath smelled of whiskey, but the word Scotty didn't sting. In fact, I was happy to hear it. There's this pool in Picarrel Park. Let's go check it out tomorrow.